Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus, the reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep, open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and on tonight's episode, a little bit different than a lot of the ones that I've been doing recently. I actually had a musician slash composer come on the show, and he talks a little bit about his music, and then he gets into some of his own paranormal stories. So it's a little bit different of a format than usual. I've been having a lot of like researches and stuff on lately. I kind of want to bring it back to some of the aspect of having people come on and just talk about their personal encounters, and of course promote their own work in the process. So I thought it was a lot of fun. I think the stories are very interesting. Definitely somebody I'm planning on having back on in the future because he has a lot more stories to get into. But also kind of interesting is that a lot of the stories come from the other side of the ocean over in the UK. So I don't know about you guys, but I always get fascinated in the non-American stories just because, you know, you don't hear a lot of them. So, but before we get into today's episode, of course, have to do news and updates and front of house stuff. So number one piece of news and updates, I will be at Small Town Monster Fest 2. That'll be happening June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Double Tree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free, but everybody else, you have to buy yourselves a ticket. There is a link down in the show description so that you guys can scoop yourself a ticket. And if you guys are planning on coming, let me know what you guys are coming because I'd love to be able to know you by face and be able to give you a shout out, point out to you and say, hey, what's up, man? So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be me there. There's going to be Oren. There's going to be Gabby and Jenny. So we're going to have the full crew there for Bizarre Encounters and Inquiries of All Reality. So make sure you guys stop by our booth if you guys are planning on coming out to that one. And moving into the front of house stuff, don't forget to go and follow Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook. And for video content, you guys can follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if you guys want to join the discussion, you guys can always become a member of the Open Minds Media Discord. Got an awesome community of people over there and always expanding and always has room for you guys to be able to join in on the community. And if anybody has an encounter to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, you guys can report those to omm encounter reports@outlook.com. There is also a submission form on the link tree for that too. So both definitely viable options in order to do that. A couple different things can happen. Either one, I would like to make a combined episode for Bizarre Encounters and for Inquiries of All Reality of some of your guys' listener reports, be it if they're through text or they're through you guys recording yourself and sending me that file. We can definitely include those in that episode. Or if you just want somebody to talk to about all this stuff and you don't want it on either of the shows, that's totally okay too. Just let me know and I'm always here to be able to talk to you guys and give you a listening ear for any bizarre encounters that you guys might be experiencing. And also, if you guys are relatively close, I might be able to even come out and investigate it myself. So guys, don't forget to report those encounters to omm encounter reports@outlook.com. And if you guys haven't already checked out my other show, Bizarre Inquiries, highly recommend that you do. Talking about a lot of the same topics we talked about on this show, but done in the format of Oren and I deep diving into a bunch of different topics with interviews in the mix, of course. And then we also do a side show that is a Patreon exclusive and gets dropped once a month on the normal feed called Bizarre Inquiries. And on that one, we take in your guys' listener questions and let our minds wander into a train of conversation based off of your guys' listener questions. No matter what they're about, make sure they stay bizarre, and we'd love to dive into them. And if you guys submit a question and it ends up being one of the Patreon episodes, I will make sure that I send you a copy of that episode so you can still, of course, listen to your question get discussed and talked about. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one is to go and join the Patreon. Over there, I recently updated the tiers again, and there is a 7-day free trial for the $3 and the $5 tier. So if you guys want to check it out, see what it's all about before you guys join, you guys can definitely go and do that. And the other way you guys can support the show is through the OMM merch store. Over there, you'll find stuff for Inquiries of All Reality, Bizarre Encounters, Bizarre Inquiries, and a bunch of other cryptid / paranormal / UFO related designs that I've worked on. And if you guys want to scoop something before the end of April, you guys can use the code CRYPTID10 for 10% off at checkout. Or if you guys go and join the Patreon, you do get exclusive merch store discounts depending on which tier you pick, of course. And if anybody is interested in podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. One thing I'm trying to expand that to is I could even possibly work on some audiobooks. So if there's any authors out there that might be interested in having an audiobook worked on, shoot me a message and it might be something that I can coordinate and work out with you. And going into the sponsors / friends in the community of the show, if anybody hasn't already checked out I Know Squatch, I highly recommend checking them out for all of your Squatchy gear needs. You guys can also go and check out Joe over there at Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And then you guys can also check out Snarly Yao for his fantastic smoky cedar with a hint of mint, beard oil, beard balm, body wash, and beard soap. And not only that, but Dave also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area, usually all free to attend. And he brings in some of the best people in the community because he's one of the nicest people you could possibly imagine. So if you're around the West Virginia area, don't forget to go and check his schedule to see if there's anything going on near you that you guys might be able to attend and hang out at. Oren and I will be at the West Virginia Cryptid Halloween event that he's putting on. So if you guys are around that area and you guys want to come and see us at a show, we will be doing a presentation, we'll have a booth, and we'll be emceeing that event. So definitely something to look forward to and mark your calendars for. And going into the affiliate links, if you guys haven't already checked out the newest sponsor of the show, Orgonite, highly recommend going and checking that out for a bunch of fantastic pieces that are intended for taking in negative energy and putting out positive energy. And if you guys decide you guys want to pick one up for yourself, you guys can use code OMM at checkout for 10% off your order. And to all my paranormal investigators out there, don't forget to go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. Barry was recently on Bizarre Encounters discussing it, talking about a lot of the new updates and really cool things coming for it. Barry is the one who programmed and developed it. He is also the one that runs the Dimension Devices Instagram page. So if you guys have any technical questions about that whatsoever, you guys can hit him up and he'll be able to answer any of your guys' questions. And if you guys decide to scoop one for yourself, don't forget to use our affiliate link, because it goes back to the show, and I greatly appreciate it. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, composer and musician, Paul Riley. How's it going today, man?
Good. Thanks, Shane. How are you?
Not doing too bad, man. Happy to finally have you on the show after we're kind of talking back and forth for about 6 months or so. I think you sent me a message saying, hey, come check out my work and everything. And I was like, all right, this guy sounds like he'd be a cool guy to have on the show. So we've been kind of going down the chain and finally made it happen. And I'm excited to have the show, man.
Yeah, thanks. Me too. Yes. Yes. Getting sick in literally the day I was supposed to speak to you was not good timing. I got up in the morning. I was like, oh, I'm doing it no matter what. And then as the day went on, I thought, no, I'm not. I feel really bad. By the end of the day, that was it. There was no way I could have.
This is one of those things too, that when you're doing like a show, like you want to have fun with it. You don't want to like force yourself to do it. Otherwise it like loses that fun aspect. So it's like, if somebody's not feeling good regardless, I'll probably tell them, hey, let's just reschedule, because I want people to be excited, full energy. Just, I'd hate to have a drag for somebody to be on the show. Like that's just the last thing I want to do to somebody.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
So before we get into the show, man, I guess a good spot to start is, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your work, and a little bit about your music?
Okay. Well, I started tinkling with music, or tinkering, I should say, not tinkling, tinkering with music, back in early 2000s. I can't even remember exactly when now. And I had a whole load of kit and gear, and I played around and made a few tracks and really didn't know where the hell I was going to do with it or anything. So I burnt a CD, and that was about as far as I went. And then I met my wife. We moved to Canada, because I used to live in England, as you can probably tell by the accent. And
I would have guessed you still lived in England, if I'm being totally honest with you. Well, I guess we don't have weird time zones, though, because otherwise it would have been like 2 o'clock in the morning for you.
Oh God, yes, it would. Yeah, no, I'm up in the frozen, what people call the frozen north, and it's far from frozen north up here. It's been hot.
Man, I'm in Michigan, so we're pretty close to that climate, and it seems like wintertime, we've barely even gotten any snow. So I mean, it's no different down here, and we're probably, you know, like some of the farthest north you can go for the most part. Like we're pretty much touching Canada.
Yes, you are. Yeah, just across the lake there. Man, or if you're near Lake Erie, of course.
I was going to say, you go to Belle Isle, right by Detroit, and you could pretty much throw a rock into Canada, like it's that close.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. So I'm getting my states mixed up, because Lake Erie is not you guys. It's, over two.
Yeah, it's over by like New York and everything. Like I'm over on the side where we got Lake Michigan side. On the other side, Lake St. Clair is right by where I'm at. Yeah, I'm over in the thumb, not on the thumb, but I'm over on that side. That's like going over to touch Canada.
Yes, yeah, very close by. So anyway, we moved to Canada, and I had to sell all my kit because it was way too heavy to bring it all over. And that was it for several years. And then my wife got sick. She was quite bad for a while there. And when she got better, she suddenly said to me, I'm going to buy you a MIDI keyboard. I promised you a long time ago, she said, that we'd replace it when we got to Canada. She bought me a MIDI keyboard, and the rest is history, really. End of 2020 that happened. And 2021, I started with the music. So... and by then I used to do a lot of special effects makeup and stuff, and sculpt my own stuff. And I would listen to Midnight Syndicate and Shadow Symphony and all those. And those guys kind of inspired me. And I was like, oh, I want to have a go at doing my own horror music. So that was really what started it all. And I thought, well, let's just give it a go. I'll either be crap or it'll be really good. And, you know, I didn't have any, I launched my first track tentatively on Instagram, not really knowing quite whether it was going to sink like a lead balloon or be popular. And I got met with quite a lot of, oh, that's really good. That's really cool. Really like it. And, oh, so that kind of egged me on to then go on, and I'd kind of finished the first album almost at that point. So that was really the push I needed to get me to continue. And I find as I, each album I do, I'm sort of learning all the time. So I'm trying to add extra elements, add different instruments, different elements to my music. And it's all part of the growth to me. So I love it.
If you kind of had to describe your like style of music, like what would be like the best? Because I know it kind of transitions as you go through albums and through the years and everything. But how would you kind of describe your style?
Yeah. Gothic horror, most definitely. I call myself a gothic horror fantasy music artist because I do like fantasy music as well. And that being said, I have actually begun work on a fantasy track. It's quite a big track, like multiple instruments. It's so big. I'm having to use my old computer at the moment till I get the new one sorted. And it's so big that the poor old computer's CPU couldn't really handle it. So I had to freeze several of the tracks so I could actually bounce it and create it and do it. So, but yeah, I kind of want to move into fantasy and into science fiction horror as well. So, yeah.
Kind of doing like scores and stuff for like for movies and stuff where you don't necessarily have like lyrics to it, but it's more so just kind of the creepy ambiance kind of music, or
yeah, it's more creepy ambiance music, definitely. That's my dream goal is movie TV to get to that eventually. So I think we're a few more years out from there, but you never know. Anyone who's out there who does movies, please. subtle hint.
Man, I was going to say, there's a lot of guys in like the cryptid community and like the UFO community and the paranormal community that all do like a lot of, you know, just little documentaries and stuff, not like huge budget stuff. But I mean, those people are always looking for music for their stuff, man. I'd start asking around and see if anybody wants to possibly use their music for that. I mean, even podcasts and stuff, if you do kind of like the ambient stuff, people could definitely use it for like the backgrounds of podcasts and stuff. Like there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I have actually done some music for other people on Instagram. They're the girl that used to do her own ghost story. I haven't seen her for a while now, Danielle. I've done a few tracks for her. Outghosted, I've helped them with a background track and their Halloween album, movie that they did last year. Year before last. I helped do that. By the Gaslight, they've used a couple of my tracks in the background very quietly when they've been doing their horror stuff for Halloween. So yeah.
So
definitely if anyone is looking for music, hit me up on Instagram.
I'll make sure I include the link down in the show description because I might even have to talk to you about it for myself after the show, actually, because I've been looking for some background music to add into certain parts of the show. So perfect timing, man.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. So inspired you to get into like the horror type stuff? Like, was it like an interest in just like monsters and like creatures, or like your own personal experiences, or like what kind of got you into that whole like ambiance and scene of stuff?
Bit of both. Ever since I was, oh God, how old did I probably started watching horror movies when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I had very incredible parents that were very open-minded, and they would say to me, you can stay up and watch horror movies as long as it's on the weekend and not on school nights. So bearing in mind, you're talking to like a 6-7 year old kid here. I loved it. It was awesome. I grew up watching Hammer House of Horror in England, which in those days was so gruesomely gory. They pale into insignificance by the movies today, but back then they were pretty gruesome, and I loved it. I just enjoyed horror.
What was the name of that show that it was supposed to be like one of the creepiest shows that was on TV? It only lasted like 6 episodes, and all the episodes were lost besides like one, I think, that you can find on the internet somewhere. It's called like Horror Something. I think it was out in like the 80s maybe.
Oh really? Oh, I missed that one. That one got by me.
I'll have to look it back up. I remember they were talking about it on Cabinet of Curiosities, and was basically talking about the whole idea about how everybody thinks like film will never be lost, but this essentially the entire TV show is lost because it creeped people out so bad and they weren't expecting it. And it was on the BBC too, so it was relatively popular as far as like TV shows go. It was on a pretty big network, so I mean considering that it was lost and it creeped people out, man, like I gotta find it. And the thing that sucks is that it might be in an archive hidden somewhere, but nobody knows where it's at. It's completely lost besides one episode. And I think it went for like auction a few years back for like some ridiculous amount. So, I mean, I think you can maybe buy it now, because I think the guy reproduced like the episode, but the other ones are still lost. I mean, it only lasted 6 episodes. You can only find one of them.
I mean, trying to cast my mind back to the 80s, long time ago for me. trying to think what ones were out then. There was Sapphire and Steel, but that actually made 3 seasons, I believe. There used to be a series but that was more the 70s, called Survivor, which was very, very cool. It was like, I believe the infection in that movie was rabies. Babies, that was it. And that was a pretty intense, pretty cool series. I'm at a loss, especially with BBC. They're a bit funny with what they will and won't make. So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't store it very well, because a lot of the very old Doctor Who episodes are gone now because they didn't store them for long term, and they got badly damaged over time, unfortunately.
It was called Late Night Horror. That's what it was called. I was trying to look it up while we were like talking back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. Sorry. I wish I had, but no, afraid not.
Man, you'll have to be the guy that finds the lost tapes, man.
Yeah, definitely. So that was kind of my start, I guess, to horror, was being able to watch the Wolfman. I think the very first horror movie I saw that completely cemented my love of werewolves.
That one's great.
They're my big favorite monster. American Werewolf in London, I have watched so many times, I can quote it.
I got a lot of movies like that too, man.
Yeah. And Dog Soldiers is another one of my really big favorite werewolf movies.
I've had that on my list for a while, and I still have not watched it yet. But now that you've mentioned it again, you're the third person I've had mentioned in the past couple weeks. I definitely got to make sure I watch that.
Pardon my language, but it's bloody good. It really is.
I'll make sure I watch that one tonight, or if not by the weekend, then now. Because that's like has to do with like dogmen, right? Not just specifically like werewolves, but kind of like the whole dogman phenomenon too.
I guess, yeah. I mean, they could definitely be classed as more like that. I think of them as werewolves personally, but I guess werewolves and dogmen are pretty similar after all.
Just minus the shape-shifting ability, as far as we know.
Yes, exactly. One of the stars in that movie, talking of Doctor Who, was actually Sean Pertwee. He's John Pertwee, who was a 70s Doctor who I grew up watching. He was his son. And it's funny because I saw a picture of Sean Pertwee recently, and he was being asked, would he ever play Doctor Who? And he said, I'd love to, but I feel my dad left too big a shoes to try to fill. And yet he looks so much more like his dad as he's got older. He looks more like his dad, but he plays a sergeant in that, and he's got some cracking lines, really has.
Is it like that kind of like 80s horror kind of feel where it's like the practical effects, but it's like cheesy in like a good way? Because if so, that's like my bread and butter. I love that stuff.
No. They're really good effects. To give you an example of one of the lines that Sean Pertwee comes out with, he gets attacked by a werewolf that claws him across the abdomen, and he's trying to hold all his intestines in, and one of his friends super glues all his stomach up. And he said, Sean Pertwee comes out with this line, something along the lines of, oh, mate, I've got to hold all my guts in and everything. And that's literally how he sounds as he's doing it. He's grunting and everything. And it's just such a classic line. You got to see the movie to actually appreciate the how well it fits in. But yeah, it's a brilliant line. And it's just a classic. I love it. It's a great movie. So yes, I would definitely advise you to watch it.
Sounds like it's keeping it to the classic werewolf rather than like the new age, like werewolf vampire thing where they try to make it like, you know, like the heartthrob for all the girls and stuff. Like when it comes to that stuff, man, if I see a vampire on screen, I want it to be those like creepy, like Nosferatu looking vampires. And if I see a werewolf, I want it to be like bloody and just crazy looking. I'm not looking for no Twilight vampires and werewolves. Like vampires aren't supposed to be pretty, man.
No, they're not. They're not. And werewolves are supposed to disembowel you and rip you to pieces, not anything else.
Not get into your bowels in a different way.
It's funny. Yes. It's funny because like you saying that about Twilight, I decided, ages ago, I got a Kindle. I thought, I know, I'll download some horror books. There's got to be some good werewolf ones out there. Oh. It was a nightmare trying to find a werewolf that behaved like a werewolf.
It's one of those things that the folklore has gone so off the rails at this point that I don't think anybody knows the true origin folklore anymore. Because even with vampires, man, you dive into it and you have these multiple pieces, but most people's like idea of a vampire has been manipulated through the more modern views of it in movies and everything versus like the old folklore stories. So it's gone completely away and totally off the path of what they originally were back in the old stories people were telling in the village.
Yeah. I quite agree.
Just out of curiosity, just because I don't usually get to talk to too many people that are from over in the UK. Well, originally over from the UK. Now I know you're living in Canada and stuff. But like when you were a kid and stuff, did you guys have any like interesting stories that were just like
you kind of passed around like horror stories or anything like that? Because I know like over here in the US, like obviously we have like Sasquatch stories, all of that, but I'm always interested in people's like local folklore when they're from somewhere totally different.
Yeah, yeah. God, I don't really recall any like local folklore stories or anything growing up. I mean, only kind of the usual thing of like goblins will get you in the night and a monster under the bed and all that sort of stuff. But really, I don't really recall anything, especially where I was. I mean, I grew up, I'm an East Ender. I was born in the East End of London, but I spent more of my life. I left there when I was like 2 years old, so I don't really have a Cockney accent, but I can slip into it because I've heard my parents do it. So, but I kind of grew up more in East Sussex area and all around there. But I do have a pretty awesome experience that I had in East Sussex, borderline werewolf, something inexplicable for sure. If you don't mind me going into that now, I'll tell you it now if you're down with it.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, you got it something okay. That's somewhat werewolf like, man. I dug into like the whole black shuck phenomenon for a while, so I'm kind of curious if you know there's some black giant hunting dogs out there, man.
yeah well, my wife and I actually lived in Norfolk, because my wife lived in England with me for 7 years before we moved back to Canada, and we lived in Norfolk where the black shuck was a big thing, and we actually visited a church in Wyndham where black shuckers' claw marks are in the door, outside of the door, and they said they closed the legend is they closed the door and barricaded it to stop the black shuck from getting in to get them. So pretty cool legend there for sure. You saying that just reminded me completely of one. Then me saying, oh, I can't think of any. And then you saying about black shuck came flooding back.
That's honestly one of the best, though, just because it does have that tangible evidence, the devil's fingerprints that they call it on the door, where it's like, it's a scorched claw mark into the door. Like, how do you it would be one thing if it was just a claw mark, but like a scorched claw mark is like, how do you explain that?
And we actually saw it on the door, and it's pretty cool.
I mean, I've seen it in pictures. If you had to like guess, how long would you say it is? Because it's kind of hard to get like a judge in pictures.
Oh, God. Probably about a good 6 inches at least.
Oh, so it's a nice chunk then.
It's quite a big claw marks, definitely. I can understand why they boarded up the doors to whatever that was that was trying to get in.
Hey, it supposedly took out at least three people, because there was three in each church, and I think one of them didn't end up dying, but it went after six, killed five of them, and then there was the one that was left alive that ended up writing that local paper story about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I do believe that Arthur Conan Doyle vaguely and loosely based Hounds of the Baskerville on the Black Shuck story, because it became quite a legend. There was quite a few around in various parts of the country. So after that initial one in Norfolk, they jumped up in Suffolk and much further afield than that, the other side of the country as well. So.
Man, when I was doing some research into that, supposedly, I think it was in 2010 or something like that, Dig Ventures found a giant dog skeleton in one of the abbeys, and it's the size of like the Black Shuck. So they were basically saying that they don't know if it was the Black Shuck, but it basically proved that there was giant dogs in that area. And when you start looking into like the whole huntsman lore, I mean, it completely makes sense that, you know, they may have taken some of these prehistoric dogs that are still around for a bit longer, and they're using these giant black hunting dogs. And of course, if you have giant black hunting dogs, people are going to start creating folklore stories based around these things.
Absolutely. Well, while we're on the subject of large animals, the other story I will tell you is the incident that happened to me that possibly werewolf related. I don't know if it was or not, but I lived in 76 through to 78. I lived in a tiny little village in East Sussex called Withyham. And literally, if you blink when you're driving through it, you're out the other side of Withyham, you know, really tiny little village. And we lived up on a private estate by the big house, which was owned then by Lord and Lady Delaware. It was a pretty impressive estate. The house we lived in was called Saunders Cottage. It was built in 1300 and something. It actually had the, well, the legend was it had the main beams and pillars inside of it were taken from the Great Harry of Henry VIII's ship. So quite a lot of legend around that. And I have a legend. I have a pretty spooky tale about that place as well later for you.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
My best friend and I were going for a walk in the woods, and there was a 500-acre wood out the back of us, and it was beautiful wood, massive lakes there that we walked around. Well, I say massive lakes, they're massive lakes in England. When you compare them to the lakes in Canada and North America, they're like ponds. My wife saw one of the lakes and she said, "That's a pond." I said, "No, it's not. That's a lake. That's a big lake." And then when I saw the lakes in Canada, I was like, "Oh crap, it was a pond."
She's biased. That's all from the glaciers. That's the only reason we got such giant lakes.
Yes.
The glacier lake water's got to go somewhere when they melt.
Absolutely. So we were walking around the lake and we went up this side path and it took us deep into the woods. And all of a sudden, it was like really quiet. There was no bird song, nothing. It was really, it kind of made the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And my friend and I were like, "What the hell?" And we carried on walking and we came across this, I want to swear and I really shouldn't, a really big.
No, you're good if you swear, honestly. I swear on the show too. Okay. You're totally fine. You ain't got to censor yourself, man.
A bloody big footprint. It was huge. It was literally like this. And it was like a dog's footprint. It had the pad, the four toes, claws, but it was enormous. I've never seen a print that big in all my life. So my friend and I, and it looked like it was stalking a fox because there were fox prints and several of these prints. And so we were pretty freaked out, but we marked it. we went home and I got some plaster of Paris and we took a cast of it. And I, like I say, the cast was like this. It was really massive. It was about, I don't know, eight inches round.
Oh, wow.
Huge. And at that time, we had a friend who worked at the university, and he was a biologist. So I gave him the cast, and I said, what is this? And he looked at me and he said, bloody if I know. It's bigger than anything I've ever seen. He said, but I'll ask some of my colleagues, because some of my colleagues are like, you know, big animal enthusiasts, and they know their stuff. They know their prints and things. He was gone with it for about a month and a half. When he came back, he said no one knew what it was. It was bigger than a wolf. It was bigger than any kind of dog. And still to this day, I've long since lost the damn cast. I really wish I hadn't, but when you're like 14 years old, you don't think about trying to keep something for prosperity. Mm-hmm. And somewhere there's this massive print all done in cast somewhere, but I have no idea where it is now. But yeah, I really wish I still had that because it was huge.
Looking at the footprints, did it look like it was walking bipedally or quadrupedally?
Hard to say, because it was quite, the ground was fairly, I mean, it wasn't wet, but it was damp ground. Hard to say if it was bipedally or quadrupedal, because, I mean, if it was quadrupedal, then the front feet were the same size as the back, let's put it like that. Because all the prints were the same size. We took one print and we compared it to, there was about six prints clear, and then the rest, as it got into harder ground, disappeared. But we compared it to the other prints, and it's pretty similar size on all the other prints. So, yeah.
I was kind of curious whether I should go down like the big black dog road, like the black shuck road, or if it might be more of the werewolf slash like dog man type road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think had it not been so quiet, had it just no bird sight, I can't really describe it. It was just absolutely dead quiet. There was no bird song. And literally as we were walking up the path, you could hear the birds singing. And suddenly we hit this one point just before we found the prints. Absolute dead silence. And we rummaged. Probably in hindsight, I'm like, why would you do that? That's what they tell you not to do in horror movies. What do? We go into the woods, into the bushes, rummaging around, having a look. Oh, dear.
There any big black dogs out here? Where are you?
Yeah, boy.
You start whistling at it.
Juicy steak. Yeah.
The trick is, you don't have to be the fastest runner. You just have to be faster than the slowest runner.
Absolutely. Or you trip your friend up, then run. I'm always winding my wife up because she worries about me, because I love animals, and she worries about me when I go off for walks that I'm going to see a bear or something and be like, oh, look at the bear. Come on, mate. I wander up and say, oh, I'll just take a steak with me, and I'll just give him a steak while I'm in the woods. No, you won't, she said.
Honey, look, I've befriended a bear. He follows you home.
Oh, dear. I probably would try and do something like that as well, knowing me.
Man, if I had the room to do it, I know I'd probably try to pull some stuff like that. Mm. I mean, I've always kind of thought it'd be pretty cool to have like one of those giant wolf setups in your backyard where you have like an actual like wolf, you know, those ones that full-size wolf, which is funny because those things are huge, but they don't like being around people, or even like they want nothing to do with people. Like they're skittish with people. Yeah. But then you have like these little dogs, and then they'll just bark at anybody and they think they're tough as hell. But like the biggest dogs are like, nope, I'm good. Stay away from them.
Yep. I was actually fortunate when I lived in England to meet a real wolf, an actual timber wolf, and make a fuss of her. And she was beauty. They called her there was two of them. There was Dakota and her sister Lakota, and she looked up and she licked my nose very gently while I was making a fuss of her. And being also a wolf lover, that was, to me, I was in heaven. And the experience I would take to my grave, because it was fantastic. It really was. So probably wouldn't be the right sort of person if I met wild wolves. I'd be like, try to tame them. Come on, boys.
It would end up being the opposite. They'd end up taming you, and you'd be one of the ones running around with the wolves. I mean, I almost feel like that'd be cooler than taming the wolves, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Probably would, actually. Oh, dear. So that's my big monster, whatever it was, experience. It was quite, looking back at it, I would really love to know what the hell it was. But
was there been any reportings or sightings or anything in that area? Have you kind of like dug back in to see if anybody has reported anything else weird in that area?
I haven't, I'll be honest with you. No. I didn't hear any more about it from anyone else. So it's a 500 acre wood, and I know that's probably not very big in the grand scheme of things here in North America, but in England, that's a big forest.
I mean, people still claim to see like the black shuck. Well, I mean, not necessarily him himself, but like the creature that he is, like these big black dogs. Yes. So, I mean, if there's thick enough woods and these dogs know to avoid people, kind of the same as like Sasquatch in the US. I mean, they know that people bring nothing but danger to them. So, I mean, if there's thick enough woods, I mean, these things still might be existing out there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's been picked lots of photographs in England of black panthers in fields and stuff. And it's like, is that really a panther? And you look at it, it's like, it is. It's a bloody panther. I mean, you can tell because panthers have incredibly long tails. Because I remember someone saying, oh, it's a cat. That is not a cat. I'm sorry. It was massive and it had a really long tail. I've had cats. They're not that big.
Man, talk about weird off cryptid encounters. Well, not even cryptid or anything, but I'm from Michigan, so it's like we don't have like cougars or pumas, anything like that here. I mean, they're all the same animal, just different names depending on the region. But there was one time that I was urban exploring this abandoned psychiatric hospital, and I was up on, I think maybe like the third or fourth floor. I was a couple floors up, and I looked down out the window, and off the back of the wood line, I see a cougar walk out, and I'm like, I was like with people. I'm like, is that a cougar? And it went back into the woods, and I ended up looking it up, and it actually said that there was a random cougar sightings in Northville, but they never found the body, never ended up finding like cougar itself. So it either one died in the woods and something ate it, or there's still a cougar that's out in the middle of somewhat city area in Michigan.
Wow. That's kind of spooky, really.
Dude, it was horrifying being up on that floor and seeing that thing, because it was like we had to pass back through the woods in order to leave. So it's like, I don't know where that thing's at in the woods. We ended up taking the full way walk around the block around the outside because I didn't want to take a chance by those woods.
Yes. Because if they're hungry enough.
Same, being by the city, I mean, either one, they're eating garbage, or two, they're hungry because they want to actually have something to kill. So, I mean, I don't want to take my chances.
Yeah. No, nor me.
Probably filling up on locals' dogs and stuff, but hopefully not me.
Probably is, yeah. Yes.
So, oh my God. you mentioned that you had another encounter, and you said you had like a lifetime of these things, man. I would absolutely love to be able to just kind of dive into some of your encounters, because I know that you're a little bit time pressed today. We got about a half hour or so. So with the time we have left, man, I'd love to hear about your experiences.
Okay. Well, when we lived in Saunders Cottage, the same place I mentioned earlier, I had a downstairs front bedroom, and it was a beautiful little room. I loved it. Had a fireplace in it, because trust me, those old places, you need a fireplace because they get cold. And I'd sleep in there, and I would hear things falling down in my cupboard. I had a cupboard like a wardrobe that ran along the side of the bed that was actually built into the house, and I would hear things falling down in the night. I wouldn't really think much of it, but my older sister was dating a guy called Dave, and every time he would sleep in there, he would come out, he'd wake in the morning, and all the sheets would be wrapped around his neck, and he was like, I don't know why this is happening. He says, it doesn't happen when I sleep in my own bed at home. And we're like, oh, Dave, you bloody idiot. And we just put it down to him being really restless and not sleeping well. We'd been in the house about a year and a half, and my nan came to stay, and she slept in there, and I because I was as young as I was, I'd end up sleeping up in the loft every time someone stayed. Anyway, my nan stayed, and my mum got up the first night. She got up at six or seven in the morning, and my nan's asleep on the settee in the living room. And my mum said to her, "What happened? Why are you here?" And she said, "I had the most terrifying experience in the night." She said, "I was woken up by weird noises." She said, "When I looked, there were these lights in the middle of the room just spinning round and round and round." She said, "And when I tried to find my way out of bed, something grabbed me by the throat and lifted me up the wall." And my mum's like, "Oh my God." And she said, and then it let go of me. And when I tried to find my way out of the room, she said, the whole room was different. And there was a fire on in there, so she could see stuff in the room. But she said the whole room was different and she couldn't find her way out of the room easily. And she managed to finally get out of the room and slept. She absolutely refused to go back into that room for the rest of her stay. And she ended up having the bed up in the loft and I went back in there. But it was bizarre because, like, my sister's boyfriend, the sheet, it like suddenly we put two and two together, like the sheet were wrapped around his neck. What the hell? Something trying to choke him too. And the bizarre thing was, when you walked around the outside of the cottage, there was a window, but there was no room attached to the window. And somewhere between where the cupboard wall was and where the stairs to go up were, there was another probably good-sized room in there that had been blocked up, bricked up, I don't know what, because there was quite a gap between where my cupboard wall, back cupboard wall was, and where the stairs started. So you probably about 5 feet wide. So it would certainly be enough for a small room, or, you know, adding on to that big room to make one very large room. So very... It was a bit spooky as to why the room had been boarded up and the window was still there. And the window wasn't boarded up, but it was up quite high. So without a ladder, you couldn't get to it. It was like big rose bush and everything growing in front of it. So you couldn't actually get up to look in the window, unfortunately. But I would love to have had a torch to have done so and just seen if there was anything in there. But yeah, it was quite spooky. But all I can say is, bless my nan, she's in spirit now, but I'm bloody glad that happened to her, not me. Because I think I would have pooped myself. For sure.
Was there any, like, local stories or anything like that passed around about the house? Or just, you know, kids just come up with stories, but a lot of the time there's, like, a grain of truth to it. Was there anything, like, passed around possibly about the house?
We did look it up, but no, we couldn't find anything about the cottage at all. Up at the big house, that was a totally different matter. There was like a haunted back corridor where the butler could be heard walking down there some nights. A butler didn't exist anymore. And there was a room up in the main house called the Blue Room. And it was, you would walk in and it would feel icy cold even in the heat of summer. And people had dresses and things. My mum was up there making the bed one day and she felt someone tugging on her dress. She looked around, no one else in the room with her.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
The freaky part about it, man, is I don't know if you've really dived into it too much, but there's a lot of folklore based around, like, luck for houses, like, basically, like, trapping somebody, like, into a house. Like, there's all the things you hear about with, like, monks that would, like, block themselves into a room. There was, like...
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of curious if maybe there may not be local stories about it, but maybe at some point there may have been somebody that got bricked up into that room. And then when they passed away, absolutely, they just stayed at that house. And those are the experiences that you're having. And the room's bricked off, so nobody really cared to look back into it. But for all they know, I mean, there could be a skeleton sitting in a chair in that room, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the weird thing was, I mean, I was 11 to 14 when we lived there. I never had any weird experiences. So clearly, whatever that ghost gripe was, it wasn't with children, it was with adults, because only my nan and my sister's boyfriend were the two that had anything actually happened to them. But after that happened to my nan, my mum's like, "You're not sleeping in that room anymore." And I ended up in the loft after that.
I mean, maybe it didn't bother you guys because it knows that kids don't bring change to the house, but maybe with adults, it assumes that people might bring change to the house. And if it's something that cares about the house or live there or got bricked up into like a room or something, you know, they don't want anything to change. They want it to stay how it is because they're remaining in that purgatory realm for a reason.
Yeah, probably is. But once my mum said that, I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to argue." It kind of put me off that room, even though nothing happened to me in there. It still put me off. The odd thing about that room was it always did have a chill to it, even when there was a fire on in there. So I can always remember there being a bit of a chill to the room.
Like a weird extra cold chill or just like a drafty chill?
No. And a weird extra sensory chill, I guess you could call it.
Man, I was going to say, I wish I could go and check out this house now. I'm curious, like, what happened to it? If it's still around, if anybody actually did end up tearing it down or anything and figuring out what was in that room, or if there's still the possibility that there still might be something in there.
I would think it's probably still standing because it was a Grade 2 listed building. And in England, they're not allowed to rip those down or anything. So because of its age and everything, I don't think what state it would be in now, but it was pretty well looked after because it was on the estate, but I wouldn't like to say now.
See, I'm kind of curious if they would even like tear down part of the wall just to like unbrick that room, or if that's one of those things that if it's a historic location, you know, maybe they could redecorate the inside, but they wouldn't be able to change any of the actual like physical structure to even, again, remove part of the wall so that they could make that room accessible.
No, they wouldn't be allowed to. In England, when there's a Grade 2 listed building, all you can do is just keep it looking the way it is, update it, keep it clean, you know, put the same color paint on the walls, but that's about it. Not allowed to do any structural changes to them at all.
Man, it's like a weird thing to think about, being from like the US where stuff wasn't really like settled until like, you know, 1600s, 1700s, where people actually started like producing like structures. I got a couple of friends from the UK, and they'll like send pictures and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, this building's 800 years old. This building's this many years old." And it's a bar and everybody still hangs out in it. I'm just like, that's like almost unfathomable, being like where I'm from, that like, again, our oldest buildings, not like weird Native American structures and stuff, but like are only a couple hundred years old. And you guys got in the UK, you got bars over there that people are still going in that are like 800, 900 years old. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we also lived in another house that had been a pub in 1400 and something. So, and that building was built in, I think, the early 1300s. And it was built originally as a pub. The new pub was now outside the building, but it was a pretty big house too, and had a few experiences there too.
I was going to say, I bet you there's some experiences. It seems like with most bars, there's usually experiences from, I don't even know if it's necessarily tortured souls, because sometimes I get into this whole idea about when it comes to the paranormal, that when you get into like residual type hauntings, they may not always be traumatic stuff. They may actually be happy memories. Like if there's people that are always in a bar, they're always hanging out, playing music, it's so constant that it ends up becoming residual, and people will go into like an old haunted bar and they'll hear bar music and they'll get all creeped out. But I often wonder if it's not necessarily because of anything traumatic, but just because so many people had a good time that are playing music that you still hear the music because it's just residual now.
Yes. And that's the thing, is people do get ghosts, active ghosts, mixed up with residual energy. You know, residual energy is like a tape playing over the same thing again and again and again, and they're not always bad things that happen with those. Ghosts are very, very different, if you know, if you believe in ghosts. So I do. But.
I mean, the residual stuff too. I mean, even if you don't necessarily believe in ghosts, if you look at it from like the magnetic tape theory concept, that, you know, basically it functions like a VHS tape or like a cassette deck, that you have something magnetic, which is the world itself. It obviously has like a magnetic field to it, and things are able to get trapped and kept within that. And they'll basically like recorded. So it's like, people don't want to necessarily believe in the paranormal, but I mean, there is still some kind of scientific backing to that, that because of like the electromagnetic fields, maybe stuff does get recorded, and it's not an intelligent haunting. It's not a ghost like you think it is, but it's just something that's happened in that location so many times that it created a rut, and it just exists there now because of the magnetic energy of the planet itself.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the other thing is, if you think about the fact that some places are built on beds of crystals. Crystals are brilliant at storing energy. So that's another thing, as well as the magnetic source, you've got the crystal source as well, which can also store energy. So who's to say that it's not a kind of a combination of the two things, that's the two elements that's causing these residual energies to become, I can't say trapped, but to replay again and again and again.
I mean, I've kind of dug into that as far as like my whole like portal theory goes, is that pretty much like you have one that's like the means, and then the other one's the battery. The only thing that would kind of transfer is that, like with the paranormal stuff, stuff gets saved in the magnetic, and then the quartz, the crystals, that's like the battery that helps keep it juice. Where when you get into like all my weird portal theories, it's pretty much like you have a magnetic tunnel, and then when you have the magnetic tunnel, and then you have a battery power on top of it, then you're able to basically like open up doorways using like vibrations and like humming and stuff. But not to get too far off into like the weird theories and stuff, but I definitely think it's a combination of why a lot of this weird stuff happens, be it portals, paranormal, anything weird. It's usually in areas where there's some type of magnetic anomaly of some sort and deposits of some type of energy holding crystals.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And not like the woo-woo energy holding crystals, like the stuff that they... is scientifically proven that it like holds energy and creates like a battery, like a natural battery.
Quartz is perfect for holding energy. I mean, it's why they use quartz in radios and stuff, because it can hold energy really well and channel energy well. That's definitely not woo-woo.
See, that's the funny part, though, is a lot of people want to believe all the like crystal stuff is like super woo-woo, but not realizing that most of your electronic devices are full of crystals and different stuff like that, and it's used practically to create electronics. But then again, people don't want to believe that there's some type of like energy source to it. It's like, obviously there's an energy source to it. Like, most of your modern day electronics are made out of this stuff. Like, there's something to it beyond... like, you don't necessarily have to combine them all into like an electronic device for them to function in different ways. And it may not be ways that you feel like heavily, but it still doesn't mean that it's not working to some extent. And maybe some people are just more sensitive to it than others, you know? Same with most things.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
But you said you had a couple of stories from that bar. I would absolutely love to hear it.
From the pub, okay. Well, some of this has actually happened to me personally for a change. what would happen was, there was the main living room. You came into the house, there was a hallway and the stairs straight up, and they were old cobblestones at the bottom of the hallway. On the right hand side was our living room. On the left was like a, we used to call it the, oddly enough, the blue room, because it was painted blue for some weird reason, and it had wooden paneling all around it. But you went upstairs, there was like a 14 stairs up, I believe, a landing, a bedroom each side, three more steps up and around the corner, and a long hallway, bathroom at the far end, sorry, toilet at the far end, the bathroom just as you got to the top of the stairs. And my sister had her bedroom right at the far end. And I can remember waking one night and hearing the most god-awful loud footsteps that I think I have ever heard. It sounded like someone jumping on each step, but it was done at the pace of someone walking. And I woke up and I was like, what the hell? And I got up to look. Again, horror movie stuff here. I get up to look. I put my hand on the door, and it stopped. And I'm like, what? So I open the door, look out, nothing. Don't think anything of it. But I thought a lot of it, but I closed the door, went back to bed. Okay, I pulled the covers over my head, okay? I don't know what that was going to do to protect me, but I did.
It's like an ostrich. It just makes you feel better.
it does, absolutely. I was, 15 at the time, 15, 16 at the time, so still quite a kid, still scared enough to pull the covers over my head. And then about four nights later, I heard it again, and I got up, hand on the door, stopped. I was like, okay. And then my sister said to me, did you hear those footsteps in the night? I went, oh my God, someone else heard it. Yes, I did. And she said, yeah, I did too. And I was like, thank God for that, because I was starting to think maybe I was going a little loopy or something. Then a few months passed, and my sister used to take her dog up to bed with her because, again, it was a really cold house, and the dog used to snuggle with her, help keep her warm at night. So she opened the door to let the dog up. The dog went running up the stairs as usual. She got to the top of the stairs, and I have never heard a dog scream like that in all my life. She came running back down, and she would not go back up. So I have no idea what the hell she saw. Whatever it was, it freaked the crap out of her. And she finally managed to persuade the dog to go back up with her. Sandy, her name was the dog. She finally managed to encourage Sandy and managed to get her back upstairs. But it took a lot of effort to get that dog to go back up there. Some time later, my sister moved out and I started to use her spare bedroom as a spare room. And I used to play AD&D back in those days, and wargaming. And my best friend and I had a wargame set up in there that we were halfway through. And I was in there one night just looking at it, thinking, planning what I was going to do when we got together next. And all of a sudden I heard thump, and then something sounded like it being dragged across the floor, thump, and then heavy footsteps. And I'm like, oh, and I stepped out into the hallway and I could still hear it. I sprinted the full length of the corridor. I jumped down onto the first landing. I jumped from the first landing all the way down to the floor landing in a second jump, bearing in mind, like, quite a way up, 14 steps onto cobblestone floors, which I probably would shatter both my legs now at my age. And I burst into the living room and I said, who was upstairs? And my whole family looked at me like I'd gone totally nuts. And they were like, what? And I all said at the same time, what? I said, who was upstairs? Like, what are you talking about? We've all been sitting down here watching TV. I was like, oh my God. I was shaking like a leaf. It scared the bejeebus out of me. And there was a priest hole. You were saying about priests getting blocked up and that. There was actually a priest hole in that house. In my bedroom.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah. There was this little door and you could open it and you would see like steps up along the outside of the actual chimney. And the priest could go up in there and hide. And that was in there too. So so yeah, God knows what happened in that place that caused all that disturbance. But yeah, that was pretty scary. We were there a couple of years, so quite a few things happened in that time.
Man, if the dog's reacting, I mean, they see stuff that we can't, man. Like that's like with a lot of Sasquatch stuff too, man, is that when the dogs start acting up, you know something weird's going on.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, the other thing I used to have was sometimes a ghost cat would jump up on the bed and lay between my legs. I would lay on my face and I would feel the cover pull down between my legs, and I would not really want to look, but a couple of times I looked over, nothing there, but I could feel the weight of this. It was definitely a cat, not a dog, because Sandy was a big dog. She was a Labrador cross red setter, so she was quite a big hefty dog. This was not a dog. This was something much lighter, like a cat, and it would sleep between my legs a couple of times. And one time I tried to close my legs and there was definitely something there that was stopping me from closing my legs.
Did it ever make a noise by chance to like confirm that it was a cat, or could it still be something that's just weird and unexplainable? Besides, of course, a ghost cat, which is already weird and explainable its own, but
yeah, it didn't make any noise. No, it's absolutely silent, but just used to suddenly just feel it leap onto the bed and settle down nicely between my legs.
At least it was a friendly ghost cat.
Yes, thankfully. so that was another thing that happened there. I nearly forgot about that one. So, yeah. Also, the people that lived in the house before us, they kept their dog, for some weird reason, they kept their dog upstairs in the bedroom opposite mine. And for some reason, they could never understand why the dog scratched a hole in the wall trying to get out of the room. I think I probably could answer that for you after having lived there.
I said, them dogs are acting weird. It's time to get out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That poor dog, I dread to think what it must have experienced up there. That it actually scratched, because these are all wattle walls. I don't know if you know what wattle is. It's like horse hair and mud, basically. They're all wattle walls, and so the dog had actually scratched right through. Luckily, hadn't leapt out, otherwise it would have killed the dog, but scratched right the way out to the outside. So, yeah.
But that's something people don't typically think about, though, is that, like, you know, somebody would be experiencing something paranormal in their house, and of course you kind of get your glimpses of it, but if you're like a dog, there's a good chance that you just see this thing walking around the house all the time. Like, imagine that's, like, the level of fear that a pet has in a house that's haunted versus like a human.
Yeah. I dread to think. I really do. Yeah.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So I guess kind of start wrapping up towards the end. I always like to do words of wisdom. So if there's any words of wisdom that you might want to bestow on the listeners, be it to other musicians out there, just listeners in general, what might it be?
It's kind of going to apply to a lot of things, musically and otherwise. Always trust your instincts.
Ain't that the truth?
If your intuition is telling you something, believe it. Because there's been times when I've like poo-pooed my intuition and it's like something come back like, why the hell didn't I listen to it? It was telling me not to do that and I still did it.
Man, that's something I swear by too. I'm always telling people you got to trust your gut feeling. Because I'm one of those people when I first meet somebody, within the first couple of minutes, I kind of trust my gut feeling. And more often than not, if I get like a weird feeling from somebody, a couple months later, if not a couple days later, something will end up popping up weird about them. Like they're a thief or this or that. So it's like, man, I can't tell people enough. Like you have a natural intuition and we got pushed away from it due to technology. But if you're feeling something, trust your gut.
Yeah. And I'm the same, you know, if I meet someone for the first time and I don't like them because I'm really easygoing. I like most people that I meet, but if I don't like them or there's something about them that I can't put my finger on, like you, I usually find out something later and I'm like, okay, that's why I didn't like you.
Stay polite, of course, but you keep your distance until you figure out what it is.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I've had a few experiences of that nature, but I won't go into details on that because that's people. That's not supernatural. It is, but it's not a supernatural experience.
Superstitious.
Yeah, I'm very much a believer in trust your gut. I do it. Yeah, yes. I mean, I do it when I'm doing my music. I'll play something and I'll be like, that feels good. And I'll do it. I play it and it doesn't. I will just spin that whole idea and start again.
So I guess since you brought up your music again, kind of fanning into it.
Oh.
Since you brought up your music again, if anybody wanted to come and find you on the internet, they wanted to come and check out your music, which I highly recommend. And hopefully you can send me a song and I can put it in at the end of the show so everybody can go and at least check out one of your songs. Where can everybody come and find your music at? And where can people even possibly shoot you a message if they're interested in getting music made for their own projects?
Okay. So A Time of Shadows, literally, if you put that up, you'll get my website, you'll get my YouTube channel, and my Instagram channel. They're all, I'm at A Time of Shadows on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. It's a bit of a funny one, that one. It's A Time of Shadows 1. For some reason, someone else has got A Time of Shadows and I can't fathom out why. if you want to shoot me emails regarding doing music for you, it's paul@atimeofshadows.com. So it's pretty simple little email address there. And my website is www.atimeofshadows.com, I think. Yes. It is. Say it with confidence. You know what you're saying.
And I'll make sure I include all those links down in the show description so everybody can find it quick and easy. And I appreciate you making the time to come on today, man. I enjoyed talking about your music, talking about your experiences. And hopefully I can get you to come back on again at some point. We could talk about maybe some more of your experiences, as you seem like you might have a couple more hidden up your sleeve.
I have a butt ton, to be quite honest.
Well, perfect. Gives us something to talk about next time. We can schedule something up and I can get you to come back on and we can talk about some more paranormal experiences, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm game for that. That'll be fun.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. If you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read it on the show and give you guys a big shout out. Been a hot minute since I've gotten a review at all over there. I do get them on Spotify. I see all of those, but unfortunately, you guys aren't able to leave any text along with it. So if you guys can boost up a little bit on the iTunes, I will, of course, read them on the show and give you guys a big shout out. And the more the show gets boost up, the more people are able to see it, the more that the algorithm pushes it towards the top and makes it so that the community can keep expanding. I can get more people coming on talking about their own bizarre experiences, get bigger guests to come on the show. But the only way the show is going to keep expanding is with your guys' help. So anything you guys do, I greatly, greatly appreciate. And of course, don't forget to share the show through word of mouth. That's another awesome way to help the show organically grow. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you want to simply have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want me to be a guest on your show, or you're interested in sponsoring the show, you guys can hit me up through inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or you guys can get a hold of me through social media. Instagram is the one that I'm most active on. Or you guys can go to the link tree and fill out the submission form, and that goes directly to my email. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.